On today's special edition of The Connection, Skip Heitzik talks with a music legend, Richie Furay.
I had to start looking at something that was realistic in my life. You know, what is it? Because there is no substance to it. You are living in kind of like a dream world. You're living in a fantasy world when you're in that peace, love, dove, and isn't everything groovy, and let's take another hit off the joint, and you know, and it's like, you know, you're just kind of floating in air. But then when reality sets in, then you got to start looking around. You got to start looking deeper.
Welcome to The Connection with Skip Heitzik. Today, we're going to take a short break from our current series, History's Last Chapter, as we spend some time with a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and music legend, Richie Furay. Through the music of Buffalo Springfield and his later band, Poco, Richie Furay helped lay the musical foundation for groups such as the Eagles and helped define the burgeoning genre of modern country rock. Yet despite all of his successes, Richie realized that he was still missing something. And today, Skip Heitzik talks with Richie about his musical career, how Jesus Christ helped change his life, and how after some time spent shepherding as a pastor, he eventually found himself once again on stage performing music, but this time with newfound purpose and passion. Before we get started with that, though, we wanted to tell you about a key package we put together for you this month featuring speakers like General Jerry Boykin, Pastor Skip, and Dr. Tim LaHaye. And here's more about Alert 2.0.
What will be breaking news tomorrow? We could easily wake up to a major crisis in the Mideast. It's clear the pressure is growing. Iran is determined to build, buy, or steal nuclear weapons. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and the clock is ticking. The Bible gives us clues about the future, and though we can't know the day, we can know the season. And the changes we see should get our attention. We need to be aware. Alert 2.0 is a package of teachings featuring Tim LaHaye, former terrorist Kamal Saleem, Skip Heitzik, and General Jerry Boykin.
And I believe we're facing an even greater threat today than that we faced in the Cold War. I believe the threat today from this thing called radical Islam is the greatest threat that we've ever faced.
Alert 2.0 has over 3 hours of teaching content, including two bonus messages by Skip Heitzik from his Rumblings of War series.
If your only hope is that new home or the new car, well, enjoy it now, but it's all going to burn.
Alert 2.0. Featuring messages from Tim LaHaye, General Jerry Boykin, Kalam Saleem, and two bonus teachings by Skip Heitzik. Order your copy today for just $20 at connectionradio.org or call 1-800-922-1888.
And when you contact us to find out more about Alert 2.0, check out the other resources available at connectionradio.org. Richie Furay influenced a lot of people through his music, but it was the influence of Jesus Christ that finally provided meaning and purpose for his life. It's a conversation with Skip Heitzik and Richie Furay, next on today's special First Friday edition of The Connection.
Take the time to make the connection.
Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. It's Skip Heitzik in studio with Richie Furay.
Richie, we're 40 years past 1969. It's hard to believe.
Can you believe it?
But that was a huge time in this country. It was a lot of stuff happened besides the man on the moon, Woodstock, Vietnam. What were you doing in 1969?
Well, I was thinking about putting a band together that in and of itself was going to make history. That was a lot of history, you know, a man on the moon, certainly in the music business, Woodstock. But then, you know, the Vietnam War, and that was, that kind of put a heavy blanket over the nation. And so, you know, I was so involved and wrapped up in music. The Buffalo Springfield had just broken up, and Jimmy Messina and I were, you know, kind of looking out on the horizon as to what kind of music we wanted to make. And we wanted to do something unique, something that really not too many other groups were doing. It was all the focus on music at the time for me. And we wanted to cross over rock and roll and country. And so we wanted to create a new sound, and we wanted to create something that was also hopefully would lighten the load of the heaviness of, you know, the previous years of the Vietnam War. So that's what I was doing. I was pretty much wrapped up in music, and that was my focus in life at that particular time.
Now, that's interesting. I want to just go back to that. You wanted to create a sound that sort of changed the mood of where people were at.
Right.
So in your mind, what would do that? What? How do you create a sound that's going to pick people up?
Well, you know, we were tagged as a country rock band. I mean, that's what Poco eventually became known as, and that's what we wanted to do. We wanted, you know, country music, you know, when you have the steel guitars gone and we had the high harmonies. Now, it's interesting because country music does have this kind of stigma that, you know, they're always singing about, you know, crying in your beer and divorces and the sad songs. So we wanted to add an element of kind of like happiness to that whole sound. But we wanted to create a sound that was going to be different from anything else that was really happening in rock and roll, and have it be accepted, you know, universally from a group of people that were coming from the South out of Nashville, Tennessee, and the likes, and also the world of rock and roll. Los Angeles, California at that time was certainly had a strong musical influence. The Beach Boys and the Mamas and the Papas and so many other bands that were coming out of there. But we wanted to add just another little element that was going to take it into a different place.
Huh.
And hopefully, you know, that, I mean, that was what we had hoped to do, Skip.
Right.
Just to kind of to give music a different. It was such a great time for music. You could create so many different kinds of music. I mean, there was the East Coast, you know, the Rascals and Cream out of England, and, you know, the Turtles and the Beach Boys on the West Coast, and then you had the bands of Chicago coming out of Chicago. I mean, there was so many different things going. It really opened the door for someone who really had the foresight, you know, to try something new, and that's what we wanted to do. We didn't feel hindered in anything. We were hoping to create a sound, though, that was going to be something that people could latch onto and kind of ease the burden and the heaviness of just, you know, how everybody was feeling at that particular time.
Richie, there's a couple of threads that I'd like to tie together, because it sounds like here you are trying to create something that has themes of love and hope in the midst of a depression that was pretty depressed. You were trying to give answers to deep struggles,
right?
Because it was the whole love and peace thing after 67, the summer of love and all of that. Yet you yourself, you didn't find answers in that lifestyle. You didn't find answers in that fame. So what did you find beyond the so-called summer of love or the era of love?
Well, obviously, you know, the summer of love and peace, love, dove, and, you know, that whole thing is very shallow. And there was no substance. And because there wasn't really that substance, and I don't want to sound cliche on this, Skip, but it's really true from my life. When Poco got started, I'd been married for a couple years, and then a few more years into that, you know, my marriage was breaking up. And I had to start looking at something that was realistic in my life. You know, what is it? Because there is no substance to it. You are living in kind of like a dream world. You're living in a fantasy world when you're in that peace, love, dove, and isn't everything groovy, and let's take another hit off the joint, and, you know, and it's like, you know, you're just kind of floating in air. But then when reality sets in, then you got to start looking around. You got to start looking deeper. And I can only thank the Lord right now that Al Perkins, who I did not want in a band that I started with Chris Hillman and J.D. Souther, I can only thank the Lord that, you know, he had a bigger plan that I didn't even see, I didn't even know was happening, I didn't have any inkling that, you know, that he was going to play such a role in my life and that he wants to play a role in everyone's life, really. But until, you know, the carpet got pulled out from under my life and Al was right there and he brought me down to Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, you know, and I heard Chuck Smith speak and it was like, my goodness, I've never heard anything like this. I guess I was ripe for the time. But because of, you know, the reality of finding out that the whole music world, the whole entertainment world, I'll tell you, Skip, it's shallow. It's really shallow. And without any kind of depth, without any kind of foundation, without any substance, you know, it's going to crumble with under one's foot.
Well, let's fast forward now, Richie.
Okay.
With Buffalo Springfield in mind, I'm fast forwarding to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep.
When you were inducted, Tom Petty called you guys up, and you were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I want to hear it from you. We saw it on television, but when we saw it on television, and you didn't just generically thank the Great Spirit or thank God, but you gave credit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you said it with this great Richie Furay smile, and you said it, though, with very clear words. What was the response in that room when you said that?
You know, Skip, it all went down so fast in that room at that time when I said it. I don't remember what the response out there in the audience was, but I will tell you one thing. I was determined that I was going to give honor to the Lord. I'd seen too many Hollywood actors. I'd seen too many musicians, even musicians that day, get up there and generically say, oh, I want to thank God. Well, I don't know who God is or who their God was, but I wanted to make sure that they knew who my God was. And so I remember Dewey asking me, it's amazing, you know, that even a conversation like this would come up. But Dewey asked me, are you going to thank Jesus Christ when you get up there? You know, and I said, listen, I don't know what I'm going to say, Dewey, but I'm going to give him the glory that he deserves. And it's due him for what he has done. And I'm sure glad, Skip, that I was able in that little moment of time to just direct the attention of the people who were there. I think I remember what I said, you know, give glory to the one to whom all glory is due. You know, I'm going to give thanks to the one to whom all glory is due, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Because after that, there was another famous rock and roll band, obviously being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But this one guy got up there to accept an award that was being given to Joni Mitchell that night. And I remember it so clearly, and it just devastated me, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity, you know, to say what I had to say and to at least bring attention to the Lord, because, you know, this particular person got up there and said, I've heard a lot, in just a very brash and arrogant manner, said, I've just been listening to a lot of people, you know, give thanks to God, and I want to thank her, too.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And it just really made me, well, it frustrates me to this day that someone could be so insensitive to the grace of God that gave that man that talent, you know, to even have the opportunity to make music and to have a breath to breathe, and then just to be so arrogant. But I was very glad to stand up there that night. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote in Romans 1:16. You know, and that's really what I wanted to leave with that audience that night, that I was very well aware of who it was that had allowed me gifts that I had, and that he would receive the honor.
Well, Richie, people who know music know your name, and they know your contribution, but they may not know that you're a pastor, and you have been a pastor. And the huge question is, how in the world does a person go from rock musician in a super band or bands like you have to a pastor? How did that happen?
Well, it only happens by the hand of the Lord upon you, and then I got to say, listening, you know, to that voice. You know, Skip, when I came to the Lord, Al Perkins brought me down to Costa Mesa. He had prayed with me to receive the Lord during a Souther Hillman Furay tour. And then when things kind of went south in my marriage with Nancy, you know, I was just kind of like, what do I want? What do I want out of life? And, you know, at first I thought it was going to be to put together the rock and roll band for God. That was, you know, I still, you know, when you got music in your heart, you know, that's what you want to do. But the Lord started to direct me in another direction. And I remember calling a friend of mine who pastors a church up here in Denver, you know, and told him, you know, what I was thinking at the time, and he said, well, you know, man, that's a 10-year commitment. I look back on that and laugh today, you know, a 10-year commitment. Maybe that's like using, you know, the tens of thousands in the scripture, you know,
yes.
which is an untold number or something,
right.
you know, but it's like a 10-year commitment. My goodness sakes alive. But, you know, I started a home Bible study. And then we started a little fellowship, and you know, it hasn't grown in number size, but it sure has grown, you know, just a lot of people that we've had an opportunity to, you know, to just proclaim the gospel and to minister to, and it only happens because, you know, the Lord says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we don't even know what that is until we just fully come to that place of complete surrender and say, Lord, what will you have me to do?
Now, one of the things I find interesting about you, and I'm really glad for this, is you're a pastor. You have a church up in Colorado, but mm-hmm. you have not forsaken the gifts of music that you have. In fact, you've done some tours with some of your old band members.
Recently, yeah, we have. It's even expanded a little bit more. And, you know, at first, except for a few very dear close friends, you being one of them, who really encouraged me in my music and some others, you know, back here it was a struggle. The little church that we started back in 82 now, you know, they were very possessive, and they certainly didn't want their pastor going out and they were afraid, you know, that I think I was going to get back into being a rock and roll musician again. And so there was a little bit of a struggle and tension, you know, that really was created early on. You know, Greg would take me out, and I would do quite a few of the crusades with him, which was really awesome. But as far as doing any other musical things, you know, there was a lot of resistance. That changed about 1997 when I released In My Father's House. And for some reason, you know, the church began to be more supportive, and I started doing some other local things. And then I had a friend of mine call me from San Diego who wanted me to come out and do a show out there. And I said, okay, I think I can do that. And Scott and I went out there and did it. And the next thing I knew, things were just developing to where, you know, I had a little band coming with me, and we were opening for Emmylou Harris and Stephen Stills. We were doing some shows, but the church remained supportive. And then I would start doing a few things back in Colorado to where the church would come out to see what I did. Mm-hmm. And I think that became so important to the church that they understand that ministry goes beyond the four walls of the church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whenever the midweek service is. But it goes with our lives, you know. It goes out. And God has, I think, uniquely gifted me in music. I kind of wonder, you know, okay, at this age, this is kind of interesting, Lord. I know Moses went out at 80. I don't want to be 80, but it is something that I have been able to maintain, particularly now over the last several years, with the support of the church. And consequently, my group now is so unique. It's something I would have never dreamed would have happened. My partner, Scott Sellen, his son now is the bass player in the band, and my daughter, Jessie, is singing with us. And so it's like a little family affair that we have going on, and we do everything from church services, like we're going to go down there with you here in September, to, you know, when we go out and we play the Gibson Amphitheater in Universal City, you know. So we get a chance to just do it all, but there is always a testimony of our faith.
Yes.
And that's what I think of the Gibson Amphitheater, because several years ago we were asked to open up for Linda Ronstadt for four shows. And Linda, you know, she's pretty, I don't know, I would think maybe anti-Christian, you know, because she called and she talked to Mark for Julian and the agent, you know, and they wanted to know, what's he going to do? Is he just going to, because we had one show and we wanted to get on a few other ones, and what's he going to do? Is he just going to do his Christian material?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, right then and there, I knew that there was going to be an opportunity, but then how far that opportunity was going to get to expand. And in the set that we did, we were given 45 minutes didn't really have much of an opportunity to talk, but at the same time, we were able to share, along with the secular songs that we do, we were allowed, you know, to share a couple of our devotional songs, which, you know, basically they sum it up and they said everything that I would have ever wanted to say anyway, and those that wanted to hear would hear, and those that didn't want to hear, I don't think, you know, they were going to care one way or the other. The music was, you know, it was good.
Richie, are you writing any new music?
Yes, I am. I'm not, you know, I haven't really, I've been concentrating more on actually working with my daughter, Jessie. We just came back from Nashville about 3 weeks ago now,
right.
Trying to just put some things together for her. I am writing. I haven't got anything that I'm really, that's been completed. But, you know, Skip, I think you're writing all the time.
It's when it comes out, you know, right?
Right.
So what is it like playing with Jessie, with your daughter?
Oh, it is so sweet. I am so blessed, man. I can't even tell you, you know, to have her out there and have her be as good as she is, sing as good as she is. And I think Scott feels certainly the same way about his son, Aaron. And for the two of us just to have our kids out there with us and playing professional music, I feel like we can step on stage with anyone and play play as professional as anyone. And, Skip, we don't get a chance to play that much. I mean, summertime is really, you know, the only time that we really get a chance to play with any consistency, and even that, you know, is limited to just several weeks or so. And so I'm just really it's really been pretty cool, you know, just to see how the Lord has used us and really brought the level of our ability, you know, up to the standard that it is.
Well, we can't wait to have you guys in September. That's going to be great.
Looking forward to it, man.
Well, Richie, listen, what you have left in terms of your music and what you continue to leave as a legacy with not only your music, but in your daughter, Jessie, the testimony of your marriage, it has been a gift to the body of Christ, and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much, Skip. Yeah, I should let people know. I mean, we didn't really conclude. Yeah, Nancy and I have been married for 42 years. We did go through some struggles a couple times, but the Lord and His grace, man, held us together. And so we got 42 years going with us now. We've got, you know, three son-in-laws. Three of my kids are married. I have four daughters and six grandkids. And so it's just, it's good.
And Richie, thanks for the interview. Great talking with you. Can't wait to see you soon.
We'll see you, Skip. Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless you, Tim. Bye.
Well, thanks, Skip and Richie, and thanks for joining us for this special First Friday presentation of The Connection with music legend Richie Furay. That's all the time we have here for this interview, but there was a lot more of the conversation between Skip and Richie, and you can hear the entire interview online at connectionradio.org. And for those listening in the New Mexico area, you'll want to know that Richie and his band will be at Calvary of Albuquerque Wednesday night, September 9th. It's the final night in the teaching series Beyond the Summer of Love, and Skip will have the concluding message in the year 2525. Details for that at calvaryabq.org. And before we go, we'd like to remind you that just as Richie discovered, the most important relationship we have is the one we have with Jesus Christ. And with your help, we can introduce people all over the world to the best relationship in the universe. Here's more.
Africa is the second largest and second most populous continent in the world. It contains almost 15% of the world's population in its 53 countries, of which Uganda is one of the poorest. While Uganda may not be the largest or richest African nation, with your help, it can be the nation that will change the continent of Africa. When you join the Global Connectors, you'll be a part of a team that's changing the country of Uganda with the good news of the gospel, and that good news will spread across the rest of Africa. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 a month and help us change the lives of the people of Uganda and the billion-plus people on the African continent. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, as a member of the Global Connectors, you'll receive a new resource to download each month. This month, you'll hear a message on James 5 by John Bosco Tulett of Called Christians in Uganda.
Because when you stand firm and in truth and being faithfully, when that day comes, you are going to be the blessed one, which God said that, come in, you who are blessed by my Father.
Africa covers 6% of the world's surface, and you can help us change lives all across that area, starting with the nation of Uganda as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to join. When you do, you'll also receive that free message from John Bosco Tulett in Uganda. Just call 1-800-922-1888 to join the Global Connectors today, or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, call our Resource Center at 1-800-922-1888 to find out more about becoming a Global Connector, or visit our website at connectionradio.org. You can also write us here at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And don't forget, you can listen again to today's interview with Richie Furay when you visit connectionradio.org.
Take the time.
Next time on The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues our study in the book of Revelation when we will hear the message, Angels Set the Record Straight. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.